Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Feedback is as much of a gift when it is given as when it is received. Yet many organizations suffer from a lack of accountability because people aren't comfortable giving and receiving feedback. In this week's episode of By Your Life, we talk about being open to giving and receiving feedback. Welcome to the 180th episode of By Your Life. I'm Lisa Hudiman, and I know you have 100 different things you could be doing right now. So I thank you for choosing By Your Life. My goal is to inspire, empower, support, challenge, and encourage you to connect Sunday with Monday through Friday in a secular business world. It's my desire to help you live our Catholic faith in the marketplace. I hope to offer you practical ways to go forth and glorify the Lord by your life. In this edition, we'll reflect on the readings for the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. In the reading from St. Mark's Gospel, Jesus heals the deaf man who had a speech impediment. It's a memorable gospel reading because it is one of the few times the original Aramaic word Jesus used is quoted, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Of course, this gospel passage is prefigured in the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, where we are told, "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing." Jesus fulfilled this prophecy by healing countless people when he walked the earth, and he miraculously continues to heal us to this day. Most of us aren't physically blind, deaf, mute, or lame, but from time to time, we suffer from these spiritual infirmities nonetheless. We are blind to the neighbor in need, deaf to the coworker crying out for assistance, lame to lending a helping hand, or mute when we should speak out against an injustice. Last week, St. James wrote about having courage to be doers of the word and not hearers only. This can be hard to do, especially at work. Having the courage to speak up is difficult, especially when you anticipate a backlash. Even though, "Thus says the Lord, be strong, fear not." It is hard to muster up the courage when your livelihood is at stake, or at least you think it could be. I taught a class on core values and ethics to a group of up-and-coming leaders. One participant, a field maintenance technician, shared a story about how he was on the way to a job site when he saw a problem in the field, so he called it in to the office to report it. He thought he was doing the right thing. However, when his supervisor heard about the incident, the supervisor said the employee should have stopped and addressed the issue right away instead of just calling it in. The supervisor was encouraging personal accountability for resolving problems when they popped up instead of just passing them on. Unfortunately, that's not what happened. From then on, this employee said that whenever he saw a problem, he just ignored it. He didn't call it in, nor did he stop to address it. His reasoning was based on how the organization evaluated his productivity. If he stopped to deal with the problem on the way to respond to a maintenance call, he'd be docked for taking too much time to respond to that call. This guy's story highlights the challenge of doing the right thing when the system doesn't support it. In the New York Times bestselling book, Influencer, The New Science of Leading Change, the authors told a story about a software development company that was on the brink of bankruptcy. It failed to meet product release dates, costs were high, and morale was low. Their new VP of development knew he needed to motivate and enable employees to speak up early and honestly about problems, or they never would be able to address them. According to the authors, the product development organization's culture discouraged people from coming forward with problems. Instead, the teams played a game they called Project Chicken. Team members would say they were ready for their part of the project when they weren't, hoping that someone else would admit that they needed to extend the deadline. The person who had the nerve to admit they needed more time was the chicken, and everyone else was off the hook, getting an extension without having to admit they were behind too. The problem was that the chicken culture led major product releases to end in disaster. To change the chicken culture, the company had to engage the enablers of the problem. The solution was bigger than any one person alone could solve, lest that person be known as the chicken for speaking up first on every project. It was important that everyone bought into the speak up as soon as you have a problem approach. Otherwise, it would never succeed. If you lead a team, a department, an organization, or a company, it is your responsibility to create an environment that encourages everyone to do the right thing. I know that sounds so simple, and it is simple, but it is not easy. Why? Because we must encourage people to hold each other accountable. The problem is, if I hold you accountable, then you might point out my failings to me, and I don't want to get that feedback, so I'll just be quiet. And while this sounds like a mutually beneficial option, it's not. It works for a short while until whatever you are doing wrong continues to frustrate me and bring down others around you. It isn't helping you either. One leadership team I worked with was frustrated by a lack of accountability in their organization. I told them, if there is a lack of accountability, you all must be failing to hold each other accountable. So what's the problem? As expected, they said it makes them uncomfortable to point out someone else's flaws, and they didn't know how to do it. So I asked them, how do you want someone else to hold you accountable? Each person responded with something like, I want to be told when I do something wrong, because if I don't know about it, I can't fix it. I want to be told face to face or on the phone and not in a text or email. And I want specific examples and not generalizations. So I challenged them, saying, you've just heard your teammates want to be told when they do something wrong, and they told you how you should go about telling them. What would keep you from moving forward to address the lack of accountability? And that's when the real problem came out. They weren't as open to receiving feedback as they claimed. The truth was, they were just as uncomfortable receiving feedback as they were giving it. But feedback, like forgiveness, is a gift. It is as much of a gift when you give it as when you receive it. Effective feedback is the gift of truth wrapped in mercy. To give the gift, we need to check out our motives, lest we become judges with evil designs. Imagine for a moment how Jesus would give feedback. We have several examples we can refer to, like the woman at the well, the rich man who asked what he must do to achieve eternal life, the woman caught in adultery, and the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus combined the right combination of truth and mercy. For some, like the hypocrite scribes and Pharisees, he provided more truth. for the shamed woman caught in adultery, he spoke out against the sin with a big dose of mercy. If your intentions are pure, if your goal is to make the other person aware so that they can improve, and as Matthew Kelly says, become a better version of themselves, you'll apply the right combination of truth and mercy to the feedback. But we have to do more than a good job of giving feedback. We have to know how to receive it as well. Perhaps Jesus' command, "Ephatha," be opened, is for us too. That is, be open to the gift of feedback so that we can become a better version of ourselves too. We heard the people were exceedingly astonished at Jesus and said, "He has done all things well." As far as the rest of us are concerned, not so much. We don't do all things well. We know all too well that we fail. When my clients' fear of failure prevents them from moving forward on any initiative, I usually coach them to just get over it, because they will fail, and so will you. Now that we've got that out of the way, you can move forward and decide what you're going to do with your failures when they happen. Are you going to learn from them or be stopped by them? Becoming the best version of yourself is a journey that is filled with missteps. But when you know you are striving to become the best version of yourself, that alone is enough to sustain you in happiness. One last thought. Before Jesus cured the deaf man who had a speech impediment, he took him off by himself away from the crowd. If we want to be cured from whatever is limiting us from being the best version of ourselves, we also may need to get away from the crowd. In an online world, we tend to find ourselves in echo chambers where our beliefs are amplified inside a closed system and where we are insulated from rebuttal. We only get information that reinforces our existing views, and we are never challenged by new or different ideas. If we are right in our views, how can we influence others if we don't understand their perspective? If we are wrong, how can we learn and grow if all we hear is more of what is wrong? Leaders need to be open to hearing different perspectives on opportunities and challenges. Ineffective leaders only hear what they want to hear. Effective leaders seek to be challenged, look for other solutions, ask for a variety of options before taking action. In a world full of noise, it is difficult to know who to listen to. When we don't know, we need to go off by ourselves with Jesus. In the Holy Mass each week, we encounter Jesus as the deaf man did. He puts his word in our ears and his body on our tongue. Are we open to his grace? He's the one who can heal us from our deafness so that we can speak the truth. Let's ask him to help us. Heavenly Father, you opened the eyes of the blind, cleared the ears of the deaf, and enabled the mute to sing. We ask that you remove any impediments in our hearts that keep us from the truth. Draw us away from the crowd that holds us back from being the best versions of ourselves, so that in everything we do, we may glorify you by our lives. And may God bless you abundantly this week as you are open to the truth, and may you glorify the Lord by your life. If you like this episode, spread the word. You know what to do. Forward, share, or click to post. Also, check out the resources page where you can find a link to the books and other resources mentioned in this and other episodes of By Your Life. And I'm always interested in what you think, so give me some feedback or just leave me a comment.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.